Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Now, we're at a crucial time here. This middle of the third term is always the time when, if you're not careful, you will take your foot off the accelerator and just begin to coast, because you can see the end of the college year in sight. Then you've got the placement period. Those on the team beginning to get focused more and more on camp and preparation for camp. And it's very easy for us to forget why we're here. We're not actually here for placements. We're not actually here for the camp. We're not here for a lecture program. We're not here just to see out the year or to prepare for camp. We're here for the Lord. We're here to meet with God. This is the only kind of preparation that is going to be effective for placements and for camp. All the other stuff is merely the practical stuff that has to be done. But this isn't the time to take our foot off the accelerator. It's a time to press it down. Some of you may have seen, because it's a classic, but there was a film made about Formula One motor racing back in the 60s, called Grand Prix. And there was a very interesting incident in that, because one of the principal drivers in this thing, you must bear in mind that back in the 60s, it was a very much more dangerous sport than it is now. There were many more crashes, people. Almost every year, drivers would get killed. There wasn't the same safety built into the cars that there is now. It's a much more dangerous sport then than it is now. And there was this incident where one of the drivers had gone off the track. His car was in flames, and it was obvious that he was not going to survive this. And this driver, who was sort of the central figure in the film at that time, when he saw this crash, he put his foot down and went faster. And he won the race. And when he was being interviewed afterwards, he said, when everybody sees a crash like that, they instinctively bring their foot off the accelerator. Their natural reaction is, I must be careful. He said, I know that's the time when I can take advantage of all the others. And I put my foot down and I go faster.
That's it. Very good.
It's a, you know, whether you like the context or not, there's an important lesson there. You can look at circumstances and you can just ease back, because you think that's the safest thing, or that's the natural thing to do in those circumstances. Or you can put your foot down and you can say, this is a time to go faster. This is a time to accelerate. This is a time to go all out to win the race. And that's the place we're in now. This is a time to put your foot down and to accelerate. Remember when we were talking about running the race a couple of weeks ago, Paul says that we need to go into strict training. You know, if you think for a moment of camp being the Olympics, if you got this near to the Olympics, you would not throttle back, ease up on your training program. You'd say, no way, I'm going to increase my training, because I want to be in top peak condition for the Olympics. And you see, this is it. We need to be in top peak condition for the placements and for the camp. So we've got to be careful that we don't just get swallowed up by all the other concerns and all the practicalities of what we have to do in preparation. First and foremost, this is about God. If all we do is go into the camp with organization, it's not going to be much of a camp. But if we go in there on fire for God, then it's going to be the greatest camp we've ever had. Okay, chapter 3, verse 7. So listen to what the Holy Spirit says. If you hear God speaking to you today, do not harden your heart against what he says. Well, you've just heard something from the Lord. So don't say, oh, well, you know, that doesn't apply to me. I'm just flying with Jesus. No, it applies to every one of us. Amen. So if you hear God speaking to you today, do not harden your heart against what he says. This is what you did in your days of rebellion against his authority, when you were subjected to a time of testing in the desert. Your forefathers continually tested me and tried my patience, even though they saw the miracles I performed for them over 40 years. You can understand my anger towards that generation and why I said, they have not walked in my ways because their hearts are turned against me. This is why in my righteous anger I promise they shall never enter the place of eternal peace with me. For this reason, my brothers, make sure that none of you has a sinful and unbelieving heart that opposes the living God. Instead, encourage one another all the time, every day in fact. The deceitfulness of sin will only make your hearts hardened against God and his purposes. Let's just pause there for a moment. Because, you know, sin is deceitful. And sin can deceive you. In the sense that we try to departmentalize our lives. And here we have our relationship with God, and over here we have what's going on in our lives every day. And we think that the one isn't going to have an impact on the other. So, you know, you may be doing something that really, you know, is not exactly what God wants. But that's okay because you spend this time with the Lord and because you pray and because you worship him. And it doesn't work like that. That actually, you see, that God doesn't want anything sinful, anything unbelieving. He doesn't want any duplicity in our hearts. He doesn't want any secret agendas. He doesn't want anything going on quietly that we think others don't know about. He doesn't want any bending of the rules or breaking of the rules. He doesn't want anything that is going against his word. Why? Because when we indulge in any of those things, that says something about the nature of our hearts. So in the whole business of relationships, we want everything to be sweet and in God's order, not doing anything that would just be satisfying us or pleasing ourselves or bending the rules or anything like that. Now, I'm not aware that anything is, but I know that God is speaking this morning. So you may know what I don't know, but the Holy Spirit sure does know. Amen. So we're going to have a look at another scripture in a moment just to nail that for us. But we don't want any of the deceptiveness, let's say, of compromise. Because that's what it is. You see, compromise leads to lukewarmness. And Jesus says he will vomit the lukewarm out of his mouth. That's what the Greek means. Most translations, you know, say spit to be a little bit more nice. But actually, the Greek word means vomit. I will vomit you. Well, we don't want to be a part of God's vomit. So we want everything to be sweet and in God's order. The sweet perfume of Christ. Amen. So, for this reason, my brothers, make sure that none of you has a sinful and unbelieving heart that opposes the living God. Instead, encourage one another all the time, every day, in fact. The deceitfulness of sin will only make your hearts hardened against God and his purposes. We already live in Christ and will continue to do so if we remain confident in the faith we had at the beginning of our relationship with him till we have reached the conclusion of his purposes. So let me remind you again, if you hear God speaking to you today, do not harden your heart against what he says. This is what you used to do when you lived in rebellion against his authority. You see, what does it mean to hear God and not do what he says? Rebellion. You think for a moment of somebody in the army being given an order. He disobeys the order. He's in big trouble. He could get thrown out of the army. He could get imprisoned for a period of time. He could get reduced in rank. All because he disobeyed an order. Now, we are in the Lord's army. Praise God, there's a bit more mercy in his army than in the natural army. But you see, the reason why the army deals with people like that is if anything undermines the authority in the order of command, the army will be useless in battle. Absolutely useless in battle. I was just happening to read a book on the plane about a guy who was in command of some soldiers, and this is way back, 100 years or so ago, and he had the order to advance, and as he advanced, the shells from his own army were landing on his own troops. So he ordered them to stop advancing and retreat so the shells would go over them. And he was in trouble big time, getting got thrown out of the army. Why? Because his order was to advance. Hello? And he had no authority. He actually got charged with cowardice in the face of the enemy, for retreating in the face of the enemy. Now, to him, it was his own shells from his own side falling in his army. He thought he had a pretty good case. But if you're told to advance, you advance. If God says you do this, you do it. If it doesn't seem to work out in the first, you know it will. Because in all things, God is working for good, and he will not tell you to do what is not for your best interest, because in all things, he is working for your good. And you see, this is the pride of man, when God gives us orders and somehow we think we know better. So we change the order. And then God says, well, wait a minute. Does that mean your heart is hardened against me? Does that mean you're in rebellion because you think you know better than I do? And you see, we look at circumstances. And if they're not what we want, then we can change the orders. Hello? But God knows that if we fulfill what he tells us to do, then his plans and purposes are going to be fulfilled. But if we change the orders, they can't be. Are there any believers here this morning?
Yes, come on.
I just had another very, very powerful weekend in Germany. This whole soul and spirit and reward and everything. Everywhere we go, God is just moving in such deep and profound ways. It's absolutely wonderful. But you see, the message gets almost stronger and stronger everywhere you go. God sort of fine-tunes it. And it's right in people's faces. And I think I had the biggest crowd in Germany that we've had for years, because I go to this conference every year. And God is endorsing this. The things that are happening in people's lives. He's really confirming his word. What God is doing amongst us now is of such significance. But you see, knowing it doesn't get the job done. Living it. So we know the distinction now between spirit and soul. So God help us if we just move forward in soulishness and not in the spirit, because God's purposes cannot be fulfilled through soulishness, through depending upon ourselves, through changing the orders, through compromising, through saying, well, I know better than God. I know he says this, but I say that. I mean, you see, we don't look at it starkly like that, but you see, that's what happens. It isn't that we necessarily go directly against his orders, we just change things a little bit for our advantage, but actually it's for our disadvantage. Hallelujah. We want to trust in our anointing. The conference where I've been is held in this big sort of Christ cathedral in Karlsruhe in Germany. And the daughter of the pastor there, one of the older daughter of the pastor, was a student here 5 years ago. And she was a lovely young woman when she was here as a student, quite quiet, very able ability, great ability in music and so on. Although she never really used it, her gifting very much here. And as I've gone back to this conference, I've seen how her ministry is developing. She's now 25. Only 25. But she was leading some of the services, some of the worship, and in fact the whole service, with all these people in this vast building. But not just leading with authority, leading with conviction, leading with power. And she gave a testimony of how her life was completely transformed by the year that she spent here at Rophi. And it's wonderful when you see former students being used by God in this way. And after she'd given this little testimony, just before I started my message, I said, you know, the wonderful thing, her name is Rachel. And the wonderful thing, I said, is to see how she is now trusting more and more in the anointing that God has given. She gets more and more confidence by trusting in the anointing. Now, you see, sin robs you of your confidence because it puts you at odds with God and you lose your peace with God. But if you have confidence in your anointing, that's having confidence in God, because the anointing is God. It's God in you. It's the Spirit of God working within you and through you. And so it's wonderful. And now she's going to get married next year. So God has even supplied her with the man. See, wait, and he'll supply you with your man or your woman at the right time.
Come on. That's it. It's true.
She could have made a mistake, but God kept her from that. And now she's got the right man coming up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just be patient. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Just get things in order. You see, God's developed her ministry before she gets married.
Yes.
And it's quite clear that her husband will come and be part of the ministry. Not her ministry, but the ministry of which she is a vital part. She's now the youth pastor. She's one of the leading people in the worship team and everything. I mean, you know, it's just great to see students being used like that. Praise God. And yet she was one, a very quiet student when she was here, but taking in everything. Really responding to God, meeting with God. Hallelujah. Now let's get back to this. You've distracted me again. Verse 15. So let me remind you again. If you hear God speaking to you today, do not harden your heart against what he says. This is what you used to do when you lived in rebellion against his authority. Who heard him speak and rebelled? All those whom Moses led out of Egypt in that mighty act of deliverance. And with whom was God angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned and rebelled against him in the desert where they died? To whom did he swear that they would never enter into their promised inheritance? It was to those who disobeyed him, wasn't it? Their unbelief prevented them from entering into God's rest, as we can all see clearly. Now you might think, well, that's not one of the most encouraging of passages, but then you can read on the rest of the book. But this is just what God wants us to focus on this morning. That we keep our hearts right. And we keep our hearts focused. We keep the priorities right in our hearts. And don't allow anything to distract us from that. Turn to Psalm 139. Oh, Lord. I think we all feel like saying that sometimes, don't we? David's always saying it. Oh, Lord. You have searched me and you know me. Now, come on. This is something we need to remind ourselves of. When does God search you? All the time. Not just when you feel like it. Not when things are in pretty good order. You say, okay, Lord, it's okay. You can search me now. This is a good day. I've got everything in order. Thank you for the blood. Yeah, search me, Lord. No, he searches you so that you see what you don't see. So that then you can apply the blood to what you haven't seen. And then what you haven't seen that you saw, you will see no longer. Because although God saw it, now with the blood he can't see it anymore. Because he's taken it away from you. That was anointed. Don't ask me to repeat it. Okay. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. Amazing. God actually knew when you were going to sit down this morning. Knew when you were going to rise this morning.
Yes.
He knew when you were going to get up this morning.
Yeah.
He knew how long you were going to spend in prayer this morning.
Right.
He knew if you thought to yourself, I miss breakfast and just get in time for the 8 o'clock. But of course, he wouldn't know that about anybody here because none of you would ever do anything like that. Oh, what a beautiful morning. You perceive my thoughts from afar. Oh, Lord. Do you know all my thoughts?
Yes.
All of them, Lord? All of them. Uh-huh. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. You discern my going out. And my lying down. curfew time. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord.
Right.
See, what's David saying? He knows you, and you can't get away with a thing. So it's no use thinking you will ever get away with anything with God. Oh, when things go wrong, he will forgive you, but not until you've acknowledged the wrong. You hem me in. Now, that's either a restrictive thing or a protective thing. Perhaps it's both. That you can only be protected if you let the Lord hem you in. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. You know, I saw yesterday we were taken to a place. I won't explain all about it now, but we were taken to a place on the way to the airport. We had a bit of time before the flight, the British Airways flight that flew. Hallelujah. There was this 3D film about the Hubble Space Telescope. Absolutely fascinating. The commentary was brilliant, so I'm told, but it was in German, so I was only told it was brilliant. Couldn't understand a word of it. But the visuals were great. But you just see the magnitude of what it is that God has created. I mean, we can't even see all the vastness of it, but you just see that this God has created such a massive, I mean, it's so, the whole of creation is so great, we cannot even understand how great it is. And it's still expanding and getting ever greater because he's a creative God and he hasn't stopped creating. The whole of the creation continues. Amazing. This is God, made all that. And he knows how many hairs are on your head. And he knows every thought. And you can't con him about anything. I mean, it's amazing, you see? It's amazing this God that made all this has that care for you. But it does show that he's so mighty, he's not going to miss anything. Nothing's going to happen on the quiet when he was sort of taking a nap. Because he doesn't take naps. Anyway. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to obtain. That you, this great God, should care so much about me that you're even listening to my every thought. Wow. He's not listening in to say, you shouldn't have had that thought. He wants my thoughts to be his thoughts. Because his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His way is greater than my ways. Amen? Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. It's amazing. Look at verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. It's amazing this, because this is before scans. But you see, the Lord was aware of what goes on in a woman's body before scans were invented. And he could show all this about the unformed body and then how the body gets formed. He could show all this to David. But, you know, God was part of that whole process, overseeing that process of you in the womb and of you being born and of you being born again.
Come on.
And of you being filled with the Spirit. And of you moving in the mighty things of God. He could see it all, you know? And he can see the end from the beginning, can't he? He can even see what you don't see about the future. Look happy. This is good news. All right. Hallelujah. But it's amazing, you know? He was there the whole... Because he is the creator, all part of that creative process that produced you and then produced the new you. Hallelujah. All the days, 16, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. I mean, amazing. God's actually written in his book when you're going to go to glory, when I'm going to go to glory. And I'm not going to go to glory before the time assigned in his book. Amen. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. His thoughts are much better than our thoughts. You know, you can have thoughts that are very appealing to the flesh. And he'll give you thoughts that are very appealing to the spirit. Now, which are better? Yeah, we all know the right answer. But isn't it easy to dwell on the thoughts you want to dwell on? Then the fantasies come in. Yes? Remember the renewing of the mind and all that stuff? Hello? The devil likes us to fantasize because it all focuses around self. Holy Spirit says, no, get away from all that stuff. Put your focus on the Lord. Keep your focus on him. Are you breathing?
Yes.
How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Then verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Listen. Let God do that.
Yes.
Let him show you what is offensive. Because then you can get rid of it.
Absolutely.
Through the blood. Don't hide, don't bury these things, don't pretend they don't exist. And you just, well, there's this sort of the spirit life I've got here and there's this other stuff that's going on me on this side. No, no, no. Face this stuff and bring it all under the Spirit. Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? Okay. So see if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. See, this is all part of the reviving purpose that God wants to do. Just very quickly turn to Psalm 91. Then we're going to pray. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I love this psalm. You see, I don't know about you, but I live in the shadow. Not a shadow of sin. Not a shadow of the devil. Not a shadow that's formed by some false cloud that hides God. But I live under the shadow of God's glory. I live under the shadow of his hand. Amen? His hand is over me all the time. See, his hand is over you all the time.
Right.
You live under his shadow.
Come on.
I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save me from every trap that the enemy puts in front of me. Eh? He will save me from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. I mean, this is all picturesque language. It does not mean that God has wings and feathers. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear.
Amen.
I mean, you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Why? Because you're living under His shadow, the shadow of His hand, the shadow of His glory. That's your protection. He hems you in on every side. Protection. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. I don't think you heard that one, so we'll take that verse 9 again. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is your refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning. I like this. I mean, you know, we don't have to get into strange doctrine of angels, but it is wonderful to know that God has commanded. No, you don't just have a guardian angel. Right. I mean, get rid of that idea. But He has commanded angels.
Come on. Yeah. Yes.
Concerning you. Yeah. I mean, you know, when one goes off duty, another one comes on duty, and He actually surrounds you all the time with this angelic protection. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. You see, we're part of something in the spirit, not just in the natural. And what are these angels? They're ministering to you. They're God's servants ministering to you. They remind you of things. They urge you to do things. They all this kind of stuff. Hallelujah. And when you mess up, they get in the way of what could have happened to you. Until you come to repentance and get the matter sorted with God. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. I mean, it's wonderful. I mean, you know, they're all around. They're all around me all the time. You know, some people don't like flying. I don't mind flying because angels are there with me. I mean, I trust the plane wouldn't fall apart, but if it did, the angels would
absolutely
lift me up to glory.
That's it.
I mean, you're surrounded. Dear Lord, help us. And the Lord's just said, I've been trying to get them to believe longer than you have. Okay. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. It's good. Amen. You will trample the great lion and the serpent.
Come on.
It's good, isn't it? I mean, there we are. We're under His hand. We're surrounded by angels. And there's the lion and the serpent. And we trample them. Is this good? Is this good? Now, compared with all that, what about those stupid thoughts?
That's it.
That the Lord's aware of. I mean, come on, let's get things in perspective. What are we doing with those stupid thoughts? And What are we doing with those little bits of disobedience? And what are we doing with bending the rules and knowing things are? I mean, it's crazy.
That's it.
Do you think we can improve on the hand of glory over us and the angels around us and the authority over the lion and the serpent? I mean, let's do things his way.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him.
Yes.
Wow! There's that pillar, you know.
Yes.
We read about the pillar of honor that God's going to erect in his temple. Your name on it, his name on it, name of the New Jerusalem on it. Whew. Hallelujah. With long life, I will satisfy him.
Yes.
And show him my salvation.
Amen.
So I've got a few more generations of students to see through here.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Come on, let's all stand. Oh, come on, you need to lift your hands to the Lord and bless him and thank him. Come on, you're under the cloud of his glory, under the shadow of his hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has commanded angels concerning you. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, those angels are with me wherever I go. Thank you that they're never off duty. Hallelujah. Thank you that they're your messengers to me. Thank you, Lord, that you hem me in on every side. Oh, I praise you, Jesus. I bless you, Lord. Come on, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord, that I can trample on the lion and the serpent. Oh, that lion that is prowling around. He's not going to get me because I can trample on him. I can trample that deceitful, lying serpent. That twister, he ain't going to get me. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Pura la bazata pakarazituba. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that you nipped me in my mother's womb. You oversaw the development of who I was from an embryo, Lord, right up to my birth and to my new life and to everything that has gone on in my life since. Thank you, Lord, you personally oversaw all this. Thank you, Lord, that I wasn't a mistake. Thank you that nobody here was ever a mistake. Thank you that you planned our lives. And Lord, no matter what our human parents were like, you planned it that you would be our Father. That you would make us new, that you would give us new life. And we give you all the glory, we give you all the honor, we give you all the praise. We bless you. We praise you, Jesus. Putaparazata bakarazito di satuba. Balataparia zatu bakarazito di santo bakarazito ba. Ora la bazata bakarazito ba. Now, Lord, I say no to those stupid thoughts. I say no to all those thoughts that are focused on self. I say no to all that fantasy.
I say no to all that stuff of the flesh. I say no to all that soulish concern and self-concern. And I say yes to your Spirit, Lord. For that continuing renewing of my mind, so that I know your good, acceptable, and perfect will. Thank you, Lord, that none of us here can change your word. None of us here can bend the rules. None of us can compromise what you've said. We don't want those unbelieving hearts that are hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. But we thank you for new hearts, for pure hearts, for clean hearts, for right spirit. We just say no to all those judgmental thoughts, to all those critical thoughts, to all those negative thoughts about ourselves, about others. We say no. Those are lies. Thank you, Lord, that we can view ourselves as you see us, and we can see others as you see them. Thank you that we can love one another as you have loved us. Now, Lord, if any of us have taken our foot off the throttle these last few weeks, we just ask you to forgive us, Lord. We want to press ahead with you. We are running to win this race. Just because we see the tape, we are not easing back. We're not just coasting along. Lord, we want to break the record. We want to... Oh, hallelujah. Thank you that there's always still much more you want to do in us. And thank you, Lord, that when we go to placements, we're going to go on a high. And when we go into camp, we're going to go on something even higher. Because of the way we're meeting with you and because of what you are doing in our hearts and lives. Lord, we're not going into camp with a fistful of new songs. We're going into camp with you. Hallelujah. Puparazata pakarazata baletuba. Purata parazata pakarazita di satuba. Barata paria zatu pakarazita di satu pakarazita de sanduma. Purala bazato pakarazita di satuba. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Puriala parasito di satuba. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Purala basata pakarasito di satuba. Yes. Thank you, Lord. You know my thoughts from afar. You know my words even before they're on my lips. Thank you for your blood that washes away every thought that I would be ashamed of. Thank you for the power of your Spirit that will keep me from saying whatever you would not want me to say. That I will speak only what is good and right and wholesome over my life, over other people's lives. Thank Lord, you say that nothing outside a man defiles a man, but only that which comes from within, from his own heart. Lord, I don't want anything in my heart that would defile me or that would defile others. I just want everything to be pure, everything to be right, everything to be godly, everything to be according to your will. I want my thoughts to be in line with your thoughts, Lord. I want you to be able to move in my life in such a way that you expand my thinking, that more and more of your thoughts become my thoughts. That I think bigger and bigger and bigger because, Lord, you think so big. You think universe big. Lord, as we consider your word this morning, we realize you're not a God of generalizations, but you're a God of specifics, that you're a God of every detail, that every detail matters to you. Every thought matters to you. Every word matters to you. Every action matters to you. Every detail in our lives is of significance to you, Lord. So we can't just say, well, I generally sort of follow you and I generally sort of love you. Thank you, Lord, you want those generalizations to become very specific in every area of our lives. And we just give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you thank the Lord for the blood? Can you just sense the blood is cleansing you this morning? Can you sense the blood is just cleansing your mind, cleansing your heart? Remember, heart, mind go together in Scripture. Oh, there's just a purifying process taking place right now. God doesn't punish you and then cleanse you. He cleanses you so you don't need the punishment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He took your punishment upon himself. All he does now is forgive you, and there's no punishment. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I bless you, Lord. Pura tapari eledo bakara zita di sato bakala zanduma. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, you say that those who hardened your hearts were those who Moses led out of Egypt. You did such great things in their lives, but then they looked at the circumstances and they got dissatisfied and they grumbled and they complained and their hearts became hardened and rebellious against you. Lord, we don't want to be like that. We are not going to be like that. In the name of Jesus, by your grace, we thank you for all that wonderful work of deliverance that you've done in our lives. And now, Lord, we are satisfied. Hallelujah. We do praise you because you are at work for our good in every situation. And we can rejoice in you always. And we can give thanks in all circumstances. And we praise you, we bless you, we give you glory, we give you honor. Thank you, Jesus. Puparazata parazato pakarazito disatuba. Balatapari eletu pakarazatu pakarasitaba. Baparazatari eletu pakarasitri sanduma. Bless your holy name, Lord. Bless your holy name. Putapari azatu pakarasitri sanduma. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Can you tell the Lord that you love him? Now you know what that means. You're going to back it up with obedience, aren't you? So if you love him, you obey his commands. But can you tell him this morning, Lord, I love you. And I can only love you because you first loved me. And I thank you for your grace working with me, Lord, to enable me to walk in loving obedience to your commands, to love others with the love with which you love me. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful revelation of your love. Thank you, Lord, that we can abide in that love, live in that love, remain in that love, stay in that love. I just believe God is saying that he's brought this message because some people have gone off the boil, you know, and been cooling down spiritually. And it's just a reminder. Now, come on, stir up the gift that is within you. Stir up the fire of the Spirit. This isn't a time to cool down. This isn't a time to coast. This is a time to get stirred up. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. You're not just waiting for the next visiting speaker or the next this or the next that to come along. No, no, no. You're engaging with God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Potapara zato bakara sita di sanduba. Balatapari eleto bakara sita di sanduma. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's have the band forward. We're just going to finish by just praising God. Oh, with all of our hearts. Amen. Because nothing less than that is a worthy offering, is it? It has to be with all our hearts, yes? Hallelujah. So just focus on him and give him your best. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.